Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Wednesday, October 23rd, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Excuse me. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 54, the third paragraph. Hence, we saw that reason isn't everything, through one paragraph ending, prove that man could never fly. And we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Letty G., 12 Traditions, Blair S. Readers of the text, Ann S.C.H., Shelley E., and Kara L. The reference number for Tuesday, October 22nd, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,849. That's 21849. And for this morning, Wednesday, October 23rd, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 21,855. That's 21855. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Yvonne A., and Eileen M. will do the announcements. Thank you so much to everyone providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Letty G. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Letty G. from Las Vegas, Nevada, and here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry the message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for everybody doing service at this meeting, and thank you for everybody that's attending. And I pass. Have a beautiful day, guys.
Thank you so much, Letty G. And I'll now ask Blair S. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you, John. This is Blair S. from Los Angeles. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. But for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. So I'm going to turn this paper off. Okay. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other tradition. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Blair S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 54, the third paragraph. Hence, we saw the reason that reason isn't everything, through one paragraph ending, proved that man could never fly, commenting on this one paragraph. And I'll now ask Ann SCH to read and then share with us.
Thank you, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. I'm Ann SCH, a recovered overeater in BC, Canada. Hence, we saw that reason isn't everything. Neither is reason, as most of us use it, entirely dependable, though it emanate from our best minds. What about people who prove that man could never fly? Question mark. So, for this particular paragraph, there was, for me, it was that question at the end. I mean, you know, that's reason. We have reason where people we know that if you are on a cliff, that to step off it, there's a law there, a reasonable law of God's nature, of the universe where gravity pulls us down. And yet, with food, when I started to think about this of stepping off a cliff, I look at my own personal life history, and this is where I start to feel really emotional, because reason was, oh, well, pay and weigh, spend a few thousand there over a lifetime, diet, get down to that ideal weight, and then binge, and the weight would go up even past what had been lost. And that, to me, is where I would fall off that cliff, would be using my reason, using common sense, using world to find what reason is. And I came to see, there was a graphic that I saw, was presented with one time, where it showed a person stepping off a cliff. But there was God was there creating a bridge to the other side of that abyss. And it was like trust. And when I saw that, I realized that, you know, I had never really handed over my addiction to overeating and food to God. And so with that, I want to say have a great abstinent day. And thank you for letting me be of service and read this passage. And I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Ann SCH. What a lovely way to get us started. And I'll now take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about page 54, that third paragraph, starting with, "Hence we saw that reason isn't everything," through one paragraph ending, "Prove that man could never fly." So who would like to share with us?
Diana Y.
Diana Y. Who else would like to share? Press star 1.
Nancy LJ, California.
Nancy LJ.
Yvonne A.
Yvonne A. Anyone else want to get in this lineup? Okay, let's start with Diana Y, Nancy LJ, and Yvonne A. Diana, please share with us. You have 3 minutes.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Diana Y from Philadelphia, and so happy to be here. The word reason is the key word for me in this paragraph. I've been in program a very long time, and it also took me a very long time, many, many years before I got abstinent. Actually, on this page, on page 54, the word reason or reasoning is mentioned 6 times. I tried, as far as my getting a higher power, a God, God, because there was an incident when I was 12 years old, my grandpa went in the hospital. He was the man in my life, and I prayed, and he died. And so that was the end of any kind of God for me, until I read the big book, and it says that we could hardly be helped if we do not believe in a higher power. And for me, reason kept me away from that because it did not make sense to me. I'm an analyzer. I needed you to show me that God exists. And that's a really hard way to live. And at a point, I really got into the big book and under somebody, I went actually to a group and we talked about it, and somebody who knew the big book backwards and forwards explained what the words meant and the sentences, and I understood. I finally understood, and then I prayed to whoever's out there, you know, for help. And it took a while, but the fact that I was persistent. I kept on praying, and all of a sudden, it wasn't all of a sudden, but it was, I had a spiritual experience that took away the obsession and craving for sugar from me. And it was just like that, just like Bill Wilson when he had a spiritual experience in the hospital on his deathbed. Sometimes there is no reason, and it just is. And that is what allowed me to surrender and to trust. I didn't have too much, but I was told, just fake it till you make it. And so I did. And now I have 9.5 years away from sugar. I can't believe that I haven't had
time
ice cream for 9.5 years and all the other sweets. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Diana Y. from Pennsylvania. Nancy L.J., it's your turn, followed by Yvonne A.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. I'm Nancy L.J., recovered, thankfully, gratefully, here in California. I just wanted to check in. I haven't shared in a while, so put my big girl pants on today and pressing star one. And also, what the heck, man? I mean, this woman, this compulsive eater, cannot stop eating, right? I cannot stop eating. I've been in program for 15 years, and I don't compulsively eat anymore. I don't eat sugar. I don't eat my trigger foods, and it's just natural to me. And what is the reason in that? It's crazy, right? It's such a miracle. I live with my family. I live with my two grandchildren, and there's so much sugar bombs and processed bombs in the house. I literally have to dig through the shelves to find, the refrigerator. My food is in there. It's kind of mixed up right now. We try to keep it separate, but it doesn't even matter. Their food's in my way, yesterday someone brought in I'm a nurse and, that medical field up. Some wise guys always bring in a box of donuts in the morning. And I thought to myself yesterday, in the old days in my disease, I would have spent my entire shift trying to figure out how to finish off the donuts. And I would have. In a day, I would have 5 or 6. I would start off with one in front of everyone, and then I would put one in a napkin and stick it in the pocket of my scrubs, and it would be the whole day thinking how to get back there. And yesterday, just having them back there, I looked at them, but that was it. They're not mine. They don't call me. It's just such a miracle. I remember 15 years ago, my sponsor saying, I don't know how it works. I don't know why it works. It just works. And I just say, any newcomer, if I can find abstinence and a spiritual shift, anybody can. And just doing these steps and following the directions in this book, just as simple as that, has brought me peace and freedom. And I'm just so grateful. And that's all I got today. And thank you so much for listening, Nancy L.J. in California. And love outreach calls. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Nancy L.J. Thank you so much for your share, and so appreciate it. We're talking about, if you're just joining us, we're talking about page 54, the third paragraph, starting with, hence we saw that reason isn't everything, through one paragraph ending, prove that man could never fly. So after Yvonne A. shares, we're going to be taking a list of more names. So go ahead, Yvonne. It's your turn to share.
Thank you, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. This is Yvonne A. from BC, Canada. And I just wanted to say, because when we read this, it was like, oh, my goodness, how can reason work for me when I didn't know the information I needed to know? So I used the information that I had to the best of my ability. And like our opening sharer this morning, there's all kinds of pay and ways and crazy schemes and all of that. We've, the vast majority of us, I'm pretty sure, have done that whole routine. But the results were always the same over and over. And yet I kept doing the same things over and over. But I did not know then that anything else was possible. And so when you don't know something, it can't be a part of the reasoning process. And so when I came into this 12-step program, I really didn't have any expectations. I just thought it was going to be another way for me to try to lose the weight and maybe keep it off. And even when that started to happen, so the weight came off in a way that was very different from, you know, all of the other methods that I had tried, it was still in my head that this was going to be the same thing. What would happen when I got to that, you know, 10 months, 11 months, when I'd lose interest and have to, you know, figure out how to try to keep doing what I had been doing. But this program is so different, and the 12 steps has nothing to do with, you know, food. It's living my life in this spiritual way and having a spiritual awakening and continuing to stay spiritually fit. That's what I'm asked to do now, to keep the compulsive overeating in check. I never knew food neutrality was a thing. I never thought there would be a day in my life when food wasn't first and foremost in my brain for every, you know, basically hour that I was awake. It was the first thing I thought about in the morning, and it was the last thing I thought about at night. And now it is truly miraculous. Like, I still can't believe it when I talk about it, that I think about food around my meals. I think about food when it's time to go shopping to make sure I have the food that I need in my home. 99% of the time, I do not feel deprived. I'm very satisfied, and my body is loving me and loving this new way of living. So now that I have more information, it's a different thing. But I couldn't reason without the information. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Yvonne A. from BC, Canada. And I'm now going to take a list of names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences as well. So who would like to share with us? Press star one.
Kara L.
Kara L.
Wendy M.
Wendy M. Who else would like to share? Press star one. It's a good opportunity today. All right, we'll go with Kara L. and followed by Wendy M. Go ahead, Kara. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Kara L. from Long Beach, California. You know, this paragraph, one of the lines that really, really speaks to me, neither is reason, as most of us use it, entirely dependable, though it emanates from our best minds. And, you know, I can see... I read it in two ways. One, I read it as our best minds, you know, like my best mind, right? I'm an intelligent woman. I'm a thinker. I can problem solve. And came from my mind all these very reasonable, crazy ideas. You know, all the justifications I made, all, you know, those all came from my mind. My mind is very adept. And it's also very adept at keeping me in disease sometimes. The other way I can interpret that is our best minds, as in the general, our best minds, you know, the scientists, right? And saying next, you know, what about the people who proved that man could never fly? How many things did I take as, you know, like concrete evidence that later were disproved, right? Things that were thought to be healthy and later disproved. So it leaves me kind of in turmoil if my mind is telling me things, you know, that sound reasonable, you know, and then the best minds around us are telling us things sometimes that sound very reasonable. And, you know, where do I get my faith and trust? Well, not in the humans, right? I have to put my faith and trust in something greater than myself. I have to admit that I don't know. That's my first step, right? It's like, I don't know. And when I had, you know, to find out, I have to work these steps. You know, when I'm in a quandary, I have to do an inventory in step 10, you know, and figure out, like, is one of my character defects rearing its head? You know, where do I need help from a higher power? Sometimes it's two-way prayer and just saying, help. You know, sometimes the prayers are short. Help. Whatever. That's one of my favorite prayers. I don't know. Whatever. You know? And be okay with what comes. If it's easy and simple, it's usually my higher power. Also, it's usually something I haven't thought of. Right? And it's a simple solution. When it's complex and hard and I'm struggling, that's usually my mind telling me how to do it. And for today, that's my balance, is finding a balance, a happy balance between what I think I know and what I don't know. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Kara L. from California. Wendy M., it's your turn to share.
Yes, good morning, Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Dawn, always good to hear your voice. Thank you so much for your service today. I think one of the greatest gifts I get in this program is this liberation of my thinking. There's nothing like it in the world. So my insanity last night was telling a gentleman that I really just gone on a couple of dates with that it was a good idea for me to meet him at his home last night, right? That was the insane thinking. That was the people pleasing. That was the pleasing Wendy. That was the fear. It was all of it, right? And I had no idea I was swimming in this insanity, in this reasonableness, right? That was a reasonable thought. And then God said, pick up the phone and call a fellow. I picked up a phone, called the fellow, and a new thought came, and it didn't come from me, right? This is faith. We pick up the phone because we say, I don't know. I bet somebody else knows because my thinking is unreasonable. It's funny I'd use that term. So long story short, God's like, don't go to his home. Meet him in a public place. Ding, right? And then I courageously made that phone call because that's what we do when we're in faith. We do something that's slightly or maybe very uncomfortable, but it's the right thing to do. It was the absolute right thing to do. It was a spiritual experience. I met the person at a public place and had a fabulous time because God was leading the way. It's like kind of like when you, during your day, you just kind of see things and go, oh my, that's God. When you see something else, that's God, you know? And because I always say, I don't know if I believe in God, but I experience God constantly. And I can tell you, picking up that phone, right, and going from reason, which was my thinking, to faith, to God's voice, right? And then enacting God's voice, there was nothing like it. Like when we do God's will, it's so easy. It's a relief, right? As it was said before, I don't know. I'm going to take self out of the equation completely because self is my thinking and my thinking gets in the way, so there's no God. So now this program says we take an action and we get God every time we take that action. And that's been my experience. And I'm so grateful that I have a design for living. That says, Wendy, you're feeling itchy and scratchy? Go call God. Go call another fellow. Take an action and hear that new idea, that new thought. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Don.
Thank you so much, Wendy M. from Colorado. Well, we're talking about page 54, the third paragraph today, all the way at the bottom of the page there, where it starts with, hence we saw that reason isn't everything, through one paragraph ending, prove that man could never fly. So I'll now take a list of names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. And we do value your experience, but we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you haven't shared in the last couple of days, we would love to hear from you today. So who would like to share? Press star one if you'd like to share.
BJP from Chicago.
BJP, Robin, Chicago.
Robin P. Nancy, from London.
Robin P. from London.
Nancy C., California.
Nancy C., California. Anyone else? Press star one.
Jeanette G. from California.
Jeanette G. from California. Very good. Let's go with that lineup. I have BJP, followed by Robin P., then Nancy C., and Jeanette G. BJP, your 3 minutes start now.
Okay, thank you. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Okay, thank you very much. My name is BJ, and I'm a compulsive overeater and happy to be here this morning, my first time sharing here. One of the things I was thinking about, I look at the definition of reason, and it says a rational motive or a statement offered in explanation or justification. And I thought, wow, that's me. I can justify having that next compulsive bite. Always. I can always justify it. And it states here, neither is reason as most of us use it. And most of us use reason. Oh, well, I can do this, I can do that. Entirely dependable, though it emanate from our best mind. So I'm thinking, oh, if I think it, then it must be okay. Well, no, it's not okay. And it has been proven to me time and time again, every single time I take a compulsive bite, it leads me down a dark tunnel. I first came into Overeaters Anonymous, I think it was 2011. And I was in for like 5 years and out, and then I'm back in again. So that's the only thing today that seems to be reasonable to me, and that is to come to the meetings to hear God's message, and I'll keep coming back.
Thank you so much, BJP from Chicago, Illinois. Robin P., it's your turn, followed by Nancy C.
Thanks so much, Dawn. Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a compulsive overeater, currently in London, from Costa Rica and currently in London. You know what? I'm just so grateful to be on the meeting, and I've been going between this one and the early meeting. It's such a blessing. So thank you all. I'm so grateful for all of you. And it's definitely... You know, if I'm left to my own reasoning, I left to my own devices, the result is nil. And that includes my own reasoning. And I just get to really surrender. We're traveling and looking for a home for half the year, you know, and for the other half the year, because we're in Costa Rica half the year. And it's just so much surrender. And I'm so grateful for the meetings. I'm so grateful to meet up with people who are in the program. It's really about the relationship. It's really not about what my reasoning is. You know, it's about what, you know, how can I be of service to God and my fellows? And sometimes I can feel that nudge to reach out, and I just need to reach out more than I think I do. And just because sometimes there's this feeling of isolation when we're traveling, and things are a little scattered sometimes feeling. And I'm so grateful, no matter where we go, first thing I do is make sure that I have abstinent food and it's just such a blessing that, you know, I row and, you know, God directs me. And I just get to keep tuning in and praying only for knowledge of His will and the power to carry that out. And trust in faith, you know, like the paragraph before that. It's really about faith at work. And the more I reach up and reach out, the better I do. So I'm just really grateful for all of you. Thanks so much for the meeting. And thank you, Dawn, and everyone who makes this meeting possible. And I pass.
Ah, thank you so much. Robin P. from London, originally residing in Costa Rica. Nancy C., it's your turn to share with us, followed by Jeanette G.
Hi, my name is Nancy C. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater in California. And I am in a place where I'm really just surrendering. And it's been really difficult for me to fully surrender and to see how my reason has kept me from God. I've believed in God since I was a little girl, but I just didn't know how to let Him into every area of my life. And my reason and my self-sufficiency and my independence, while it has served me in some areas in my life, in the area of food, it has just been a disaster. So I heard someone share last week that the food plan was a protection. It was a thing that protected me from my compulsive overeating. And I think I've seen the food plan as a burden. And so I'm really just surrendering to, you know, the food plan is what I need as a compulsive overeater to protect me from myself, from my own natural inclination, which is to eat compulsively. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Nancy C. from California. And Jeanette G., your 3 minutes start now.
Hi, I'm Jeanette, recovering compulsive overeater. And faith and reason and trust and all of that is such a big bundle for me. I too was raised with religion. And so coming in, I thought, oh, I have all kinds of faith. And, you know, I do have faith that there's a power greater than me. At first, that was the rooms and then my sponsor and then being able to redefine that source of love. And really what I realized, it's about trust for me. And for me, I'm really working on knowing that faith is trust without reservation, and that every day I need to care for and respect the trust that I have in my higher power. And, you know, that gets a little slippery. And also with the reasoning, so much of that is with step one. And many, many decades ago, I was at a marathon meeting and someone said, you know, if you're a compulsive overeater, raise your right hand, keep it up. And if you beat yourself up when you have imperfect food, raise your left hand. And which is it? And it's like my disordered thinking makes me think that, you know, am I powerless or am I a bad girl? And, you know, for today, I can trust I have no power over my disorder, and I can have faith that this power greater than me will restore my sanity when I continue to reach out. And that includes these meetings, my sponsor, working steps. So thank you so much for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Jeanette G. from California. And we're talking about page 54, that third paragraph. Hence, we saw that reason isn't everything. Through one paragraph ending, prove that man could never fly. So I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. We do value your experience, but we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Mo K, California.
Was that, who was that? Who was that, K from California?
Yes, Mo K, California.
Very good, Mo K. And who is the other voice?
Dina A, New Jersey.
Dina A, New Jersey. Dina A, New Jersey. Very good. And who else would like to share? Okay, we'll go with those two and see how much time we have left. Mo K from California, please share, followed by Dina A.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mo K, compulsive overeater in California. Thank you so much for your service. And I think I was struck by, I just lost my place in it, so I now can't see about reason, but I think I was so struck by that, you know, reason and faith, and as we've been talking about, and I think I love, after several years in the program, is when I had a spiritual experience. And it's amazing how it took a couple years of unveiling the onion, working the steps, working with my sponsor, and to have a spiritual experience that was completely beyond reason, and yet to feel this amazing love and to feel that my higher power knows me deeper than I ever thought, maybe even deeper than I knew myself, and to have such a powerful experience. And I was so grateful for all of the people in the rooms who had always said, don't leave before your miracle happens. And I feel like I'm a living example of that. And that said, it really is a one day at a time program, because even with an amazing spiritual experience, I, my little built-in forgetter, I need to remember to turn this over one day at a time to a power greater than myself. And I'm just so grateful for how this program works and how you can come into a meeting and hear exactly what you need to hear. And I think that's where I love how the Big Book talks about reason and faith, and it lets us explore that. And the last thing is, for me, what helps is also the acceptance prayer on page, I think it's 417 of the Big Book. Sometimes when I'm trying to reason things or when it's not making sense, I have to, you know, I have that written in the front of my Big Book, that acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. And that really has gotten me through. And I just want to thank you all for your service and for being here and for the gift that this meeting is. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Mo K from California. And Dina A, it's your turn to share for 3 minutes.
Hi. If you like. Thank you so much. Good morning, everybody. Dina A from New Jersey, gratefully recovered today. Meeting just to share out loud, because, and this paragraph is so perfect for the reason that I need to share out loud, because I haven't been on a live meeting, and just listening every day to recordings is not the same for me, because it brings me back to my own reason, and it is not entirely dependable, though it emanates from my best mind. For me, connecting and being part of is part of the faith of the program, is part of me surrendering my, I can do this, I got this, I'm listening to my meetings, I'm doing my writings, I'm calling my sponsor, I'm doing everything I should be doing, and yet when I'm doing it a little bit myself, that brings me right back to my best mind, which I'm not going to knock here, or I'm grateful for it, I appreciate it, but it's not what's going to have me be recovered. And I love this, like, either as a reason, as most of us use it, entirely dependable. And my reason is not entirely dependable, because ever since I've been born, I've been picking up beliefs that are not dependable beliefs such as I'm only good enough I could finish a sentence in a thousand ways. But beliefs like that are ingrained as a groundwork for my reason are what is not dependable. And every time I do a 10-step, and every time I bring my discomfort, my feelings of resentment or fear, and I bring them to my higher power, and I sit in the prayer of like what God would have me be, and suddenly I'm washed over with something so much more real and true than my reason. It's always something comforting and loving and being seen and heard and understood in a way that my reason doesn't allow for me to have. It doesn't give me permission. But once I bring it to God and I have it from there, there's just so much recovery, so much beauty, so much comfort in that. And so I'm so grateful to have found program. I'm grateful for all of you. I'm grateful to have had a chance to be a part today. So with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Dina A. from New Jersey. And we have time for another person to share. So if you haven't shared in the last couple days, press star one and give me your name. We'd love to hear from you.
Marion R. from New York.
Marion R. from New York. Go ahead, Marion.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Marion R. from New York, and I'm in New York, and I'm really glad to be on here today. I've been on the Vision for You meeting a few times. I've never shared, but this meeting is exactly what I needed to hear today. I'm in the midst of many different holidays, and I wasn't on consistent meetings, and I really felt like, although I do consider myself to have had a spiritual experience, my built-in forgetter started coming back pretty loud recently, and it's just crazy to me, like, how sneaky and insidious this disease is. Like, the way I think of it is, like, it's like carbon monoxide or poisonous gas, and you can't see it, you can't smell it. It's deadly, and it feels like it just, like, seeps into a room. And you only realize once you start having these physical symptoms. But that's sort of what it feels like the disease is. And I'm so glad that there is, my community is here, and I can choose when I plug into them. But it's really, I'm grateful for this meeting. I'm grateful to be reminded that there is a solution and that I don't have to live in obsession. And I have had a taste of food neutrality, which I did not think existed for myself. I related to other fellow shares. I thought food was going to dominate my life for the rest of my life. I thought I was, like, destined to struggle with food till the day I died. And I have been so blessed to say that I have had a taste of what food neutrality is and serenity, and the promise is coming true, and I want that to continue in my life. I don't know if this is the part of the meeting where we leave our numbers, but I would love outreach, but I'm happy to leave that at the end. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Miriam R. from New York. Beautiful. There's a time after in just a few minutes, we'll be giving a time for people to announce their names and numbers if they haven't done that. And we'd love to take that at that time. So thank you to everyone who shared. I know there were a number of people who don't share often and who had the courage to press that star one, and we so appreciate hearing from you today. Just beautiful experience in this meeting. Thank you. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Shelley E. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yvette, good morning. Good morning, my fellows. I'm Shelley E., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Petoskey, Michigan. The Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.